got some things on my mind to mention to you, just a few little things tonight. I always like to get into the deep mysteries of God, as I tell you so often, but I'm going to come here, I feel, maybe just to mention a few little things from the Scriptures that might encourage you in something. Perhaps it's in your life that might help you be able to really go on with the Lord. And in these things, sometimes we drop a thought or two that maybe that you've already considered, maybe you haven't, some things maybe that you haven't seen, and they hinder your faith, and that there's a lot of questions that rises in your mind. You know, faith, when you talk about faith, we preached a few little sermonettes on faith, and when you talk about faith, we, even in our day, in this late day of almost the closing out of the church ages, we still haven't come to what we need to know about faith. And we're not getting the benefits of faith the way that God intended for us to have the benefits of faith. And it's all because we don't understand faith. It isn't because there's anything lacking concerning faith, or it isn't because God has made faith such a complicated situation. He has not placed it out of our reach to where we cannot reach it. We can reach it. See, and it is something that He gave us for our everyday use, something that we can use every day. But if we don't understand it, then we can't use it. And we find ourselves going along saying that we are Christians when we don't even know how to believe to be a Christian. And we go along saying God's going to bless us and God's going to do things for us when we don't know that, because we don't understand faith, and He can't do that unless He hath faith. So then this means that we need to know more about faith and the things of God concerning faith. Okay, now I started to read from a scripture here in James, but I think I'll refer back to Mark 11:22, where Jesus said, "Have faith in God." There's something I want to say that pertains to what James said there in the 5th chapter. I think that I'll go back to this, and this way I think you can understand better what I'm saying. Okay, now, we've been talking about faith just a little bit. We got over in the book of Revelation, and we stayed over there quite a bit, going from the front to the back, and then dropping over about middle ways of Revelation, just to kind of give you some continuity of thought in the things of Revelation. And, of course, the way that I am, I would just love to stay in the book of Revelation, talking about the things of the book of Revelation, because that's the things that excites me, is the mysteries of God. But for you, you need to understand faith more and more, because faith is the one essential thing to your salvation. If you'll notice, when Jesus was here, His theme of ministry was always faith. And most of the apostolic teachers, except Paul, all based their ministry principally on faith. Paul got into the mysteries of God and the revelation of God because he was sent to get a bride for Christ. But even Paul magnified the teachings of faith because it is essential to salvation. Faith is the keynote to everything in the Bible. Without that, you might as well to close your Bible and just forget about the whole thing. Because if you don't have any faith, I hear people say, "Well, I guess I just don't have any faith." Well, I guess if you don't, you don't have any salvation. Because if you don't have any faith, you don't have any salvation. If you don't have any faith, you don't have anything. And you're just like driftwood on the river. So if you don't have any faith, then you'd better start searching, or you better start asking God to help you to get faith. Because without faith, you're not going to be saved. The Bible teaches us by grace through faith that we're saved, and that not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. It doesn't matter if you come to church, as I say. It doesn't matter what you do, given to the offering. Doesn't matter if you pray. Doesn't matter if you fast. Doesn't matter if you become a great Bible scholar. a good neighbor, do all kind of good works, it still doesn't profit you anything. All of that is dead without faith. Even your works is dead without faith. You're not saved by works. As I said the other night, Peter made this real clear in his teachings. He said, we are not saved by the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Even though we do put away the filth of the flesh, because when you're born of God and you take on the nature of Jesus Christ, the nature will automatically eradicate the filth of the flesh from you. And you'll find out that you don't want to do that. You know, it's just like a pig. A pig likes to wallow in the slop. That's his nature. But a man don't like to wallow in the slop because that's not his nature. So it's not, you know, it's not hard for the man just to take the outlook that I refuse to wallow in the slop. You know, we act a lot of times like, well, we'll have to give up this, we'll have to give up that. If we become a Christian, mind the sacrifice we're going to have to make. But when you take on the nature of Jesus Christ, it's not hard to get away from the evil things of life. The man don't want to wallow in the slop. He doesn't have a nature to wallow in the slop. The pig loves to wallow in the slop because he's got a nature to wallow in the slop. And what a cat don't like, it won't eat because it's not its nature. And that means whatever your nature is, that's what you want. And when you take on the nature of Jesus Christ, then you want the things of God. And you want clean things and holy things and virtuous things and pure things and lovely things. And you want to be different. You want to be like Christ. There's something on the inside that compels you to do it. So this is what cleanses you from the filth of the flesh. It is that you've already been born again and that you've already received salvation as of no works, just free of charge, just by faith or believing in the wonderful works or the finished works of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then when you get this wonderful nature, then it compels you to do the things that are right. This nature causes you to want to do the things that's right. So Peter tells us, he said, when it comes to salvation, it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh that saves you, but he said it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. And he spoke of baptism, said that 8 in the days of Noah was saved by water, the like figure, one to baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. And this we do. We come to God, we confess our sins, we call on the name of the Lord Jesus because we want to do the things that please Him. And when we do the things that please Him, we assure our conscience before God and we have a good conscience before God. And thus, this is faith in Christ that saves us. Faith is what saves us. So then when we have a good conscience toward God, then we feel like that God is going to favor us. And we feel like that we're going to favor Him because there's nothing between us. And because we believe God is going to favor us, thus God favors us. Whereas I know a lot of people would say, well, Brother Pike, you know, I can do whatever I want to. It don't bother me in my conscience. And I just feel like God's going to give me His favor because I love Him and He loves me and I'm special with Him anyway. But see, that's where the whole world is mixed up. They're lukewarm. They're vomit on His table. He spewed them out of His mouth. God doesn't favor anybody. God does not respect any human person. Webster speaks of the human person as being your natural physique, your body. And God doesn't respect any kind of face. It doesn't matter if you think it's handsome or whether you think it's ugly or whether you think it's pretty or you think it's not pretty. It's not important to God. He could care less about it. He doesn't respect a human person. He'll just like as to move His hand and 10 million people would be gone away, whether they were supposed to be the best looking or not the best looking. He isn't interested in that. He doesn't have any interest in your wealth and your education, your ability, your strength, your physique, whatever. He hath no interest. His interest is in your heart as to the spirit world and as to what kind of spirit that you've got on the inside. Otherwise, He doesn't care about your philosophy, your smooth words. He doesn't care about the gleam in your eyes, or what kind of eyes you got, or how pretty your hair is. He doesn't care what kind of frock you wear. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. But God is interested in a clear conscience. And a clear conscience is when you really, really make a sincere, godly effort to try to be clean and upright before God, to the extent that you want to please him and honor him. And because of this clear conscience, then God makes contact with you. And you can try to have a clear conscience all you want to by being charismatic, by joining a church, by practicing some ritualistics, doing the things that you feel like that you'd like to do, but that won't do you any good in the sight of God. It's got to be a genuine, heartfelt conviction down in here where there is a sincerity from your heart to God of wanting to be like him, to wanting to please him, to want to do the things that God wants you to do. And when that conscience is clear, God just automatically comes to you. He loves you. He stands with you. He helps you. He does things for you. But if there's any kind of thing in your heart whatsoever that's not sincere, then God counsels you out. He marks you off, and you're no longer his. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. Always remember that no matter who you are that's listening to my voice, be sure you remember that one thing. No matter who you are or where you are or what kind of race you are, God crosses you out. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He is looking for the upright in heart. The Bible said his eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil, going to and fro, looking for the upright in heart. And wherever he finds the upright in heart, then it is there that he shows himself strong in their behalf as to give them the desire of their heart. When you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. But until you come to the place to where there is a deep, embedded, and rooted sincerity with God, there is no good conscience with God. And Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and toward God. So then looking for a good conscience, then we know that everything's right between us and God. And that means that if you're going to have a good conscience, you're going to have everything right between you and your fellow man. That's why that God did not receive Cain's offering. When Cain came, his conscience wasn't clear. He had killed his brother, and his conscience wasn't clear. And when God asked him about his brother, he said, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, his blood crieth unto me from the ground. What is this that thou hast done? He rejected his offering, and Cain was wroth. He said, if you had done right, would I not have received your offering? But if I haven't received it, then sin lieth at the door. So then it's important that this heart be right. Now, my heart cannot be right unless I have faith. It's impossible for my heart to be right unless I have faith. I must have faith in God. And to have faith in God, I've got to look toward Jesus Christ because there's nothing else to have faith in. His word tells me of Christ, and his word tells me of the sacrifice of Christ. It tells me what I need in Christ, what he has given me, and what I can be in Christ and what I am in Christ. And when I believe that, that faith sanctifies me. Now, I wanted to drop this thought in tonight so that it would help us with our faith. It's like yesterday when I was talking to some people about this. I asked the question. I said, now supposing that we have several children over here that's blind. We have some children over here that's deaf. And we have a few children that's deformed, and we have something that's wrong over here with others. In the world today, there's poverty, there's sickness, there's all kind of things, blindness, deafness. I said, supposing that we had that, then I addressed an individual. I said, and I came to you for help. And I said, now, would you help me? I said to the individual, I said, now, if you had the power to heal or do something for the children, would you do it? And an individual answered me and said, as quick as I could get to them. I said, well, I said, if that be the case, tell me, is man better than God? He said, no. Would man do that, folks, quicker than God would? No. Would a man heal a little blind child as it wanders around, just a little bitty two-year-old, bumping into everything, burning its little hand? Nobody can do anything with it. It's trying to play, trying to do whatever. Now, would God heal the little child? as quick as the man would that was able to do it? Won't a physician try to do it if he can? Then are they better than God? Is man then better than God? No. So, then the question arises then, why are there so many blind babies in the world? Why is there so many blind people in the world? Why is there so many broken hearts in the world? Why is it so many deaf people in the world? Why is there so many crippled people, mutilated people? Of course, we know some of it's because they go down to Egypt for their help. And the Bible said, cursed is the one that goeth down to Egypt for the help, or he that leaneth upon the arm of flesh. So then the question rises, why are these things in the world? See, I've had so many people come to me, and they still do. And they come to me and they say, well, I don't know about God. I say, well, what's the problem? And they say, well, I feel this way about it. You're talking about God and God being good and this little crippled boy over here and this little blind girl over here and all these other things over here and people having wrecks and being mangled and all these kind of things. There's all kind of epidemics, bad weather just tears things to pieces, collapse, you know, bridges collapsing, buildings collapsing. And by the way, one of the greatest calamities that will ever befall the world is in the pouring out of the last vial, when the Bible said all of the cities of the nation and the world shall crumble. Can you imagine what it will be like? I was telling somebody yesterday, I believe it was, I said, just think when that bridge collapsed out in California, think of the calamity. I said, while we were over in Egypt having our crusade going down a street, I said, we come by today, here's the nice buildings, we go by the next day, and here's a building completely collapsed and fell in from the top all the way down. Now, I said, can you think of what a calamity that will be when all of the cities of the nations crumble and millions upon millions of people are pinned in under all of this and they can't get out? Some smothering to death, some's crushed to death, some's torn into pieces, and some is imprisoned there to where they'll go out of their minds because they can't get to them. See, shut up in there. And I said, can you imagine what kind of calamity that be? When it'll be not just where a building fell, or as it was in California, a bridge collapsed. I said, but all through the city, everywhere. I said, can you imagine what it would be like when such great skyscrapers as this big building in New York falls? The Empire State Building, these other great buildings. But anyway, getting back to the major theme of our thought. See, so then God, is he in all of these things? Is this God's way? Is this the God that we're serving? Is this the God that we worship? Is this the God that we praise? Is this the God that we say is so good and kind, that tears the bridge down, that tears the buildings down, that causes all the storms and the earthquakes, and causes all the turbulence in the earth, all the disorders in the earth, the robbery, the theft, rips little children's throats open, ravishes little children, dads who defile their own darling little daughters? Is this the way it is? Is this the God that we serve? No, see, that's the God of hatred. That's the God of evil. That's the God of lust. That's the God of filth. That's the God of uncleanness. That's the God Lucifer, the God of this world. That's the God of the flesh. That's the God without feeling, the God that don't care. He is responsible. He is responsible for all of that. He does all of that. He kills, he steals, he cheats. God gives you your lovely children. The Bible said, and the children are a gift from God. He gives those children, but then Satan comes in. He's a robber. He's a thief. And what does he do? He steals the little children. He steals their health. He takes them away from you. Death comes, the enemy of God. But then again, we ask the question, why is all of these things in the earth? If God is so good, someone, they come to me a lot of times and they'll say, Brother Pike, you tell me these things, but yet you also tell me that God is able to do all things. I say, of course. And they say, but God knows about all these things. I say, of course. They say, but why don't God do something about all of these things? If he can do all things, and nothing is impossible to God the way that you talk, then why doesn't God do something about it? If he's so good, well, then you're on the spot. You stand there and you're baffled and you wonder and you think, well, my God, why doesn't he do something? You know? And I say that in the light of this thought that if you don't understand God, whereas if we don't understand God, how are we going to believe God? How are we going to tell others? How can I explain that to somebody because they have a point? See, they have a right to feel the way they're feeling. They have a right to say that if they're in ignorance and don't understand. And it's my job as a Christian, let alone a minister, if I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to straighten them out. I'm supposed to give them good understanding. I'm supposed to be able to have an answer for every man that approacheth me and asketh me of these things. So when they come to ask you this thing, what do you answer them? Does God know? We know that he knows. Why doesn't God do it? If a man would do it, if a woman would do it, I ask the question again, are we better than God? There's none good but God. Then I say, God, why don't you heal? If I could get to that little blind boy tonight, if I was able to travel all over the world and had the money and had the strength, it wouldn't matter about the time. I'd take the time. If I had the power just to go from one place to another, just to heal, just like that. And we do have power with God. See, but why is it that God doesn't do it? Why is it that God doesn't do it? For the same reason the physician doesn't do it. For the same reason that you and I don't do it. That's why God doesn't do it. So someone would say, well, then what is that, Brother Pike? Why is it that you don't do it? You know, if I ask you that question directly, you'd say, well, Brother Pike, it's because I can't do it. Or else I would, then I would say to you, then why doesn't God do it? It's simple, because he can't do it. He can't do it no more than you can do it, no more than I can do it, no more than the physicians can do it, no more than anybody can do it, but it is not God's fault. It is not because he doesn't have the power to do it. It's not because he's not able to do it in the sense of the ability and power. It's not because he isn't concerned, and it's not because he don't want it done. You know, we wrestle in our mind as the devil talks with us and distorts our thoughts to this extent. We're to and fro all the time. So, well, it's just not God's will to do it. Or it's God's will to do some of it. It's not God's will to do all of it. You know, it's just not God's will. But then the question arises, see, when people die and they go to hell, is that God's will? When I say, is it God's will to save everybody, or is it God's will just to save some people? How do we answer God there? How do we answer people there? Is it God's will to save everybody or just somebody? Someone would say, well, it's God's will to save everybody. Well, why does people go to hell then? Why doesn't he save everybody? See, because he can't. See, the reason is they won't let him. That's what the problem is. They won't let him. And it's the same principles with healing. It is God's will to heal every living soul there is. It is not God's will that even the wicked should perish. But the Bible says all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. That's God's will. But he said, if you are determined to do wickedly, I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. Beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. Or that is, I allow the devil to do that. So it's like he told 3 million people when they come out of Egypt. He said, if you will keep my ordinances, do the things I tell you, I will not bring any of these things upon you or put any of these things upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. But the original rendering of that is, I will not allow these things to come upon you. And that is, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll be able to protect you from them. That's what we're saying. But the Bible teaches that I will not put them upon you or bring them upon you. Now, let's look at it for just a minute. This is for our faith. the perfecting of our faith. I cannot believe right if I do not think right. And I cannot think right if I do not know or understand right. And that's what the minister is for. And it's imperative to our salvation that we know that we can believe right, because how then are we going to be translated if we can't believe right? How then are we going to be saved if we can't believe right? And it's for sure we're not going to be healed if we can't believe right. And we're going to be in poverty. We're going to be in trouble. We're going to be in sorrow. It's going to be something all the time because we can't believe right, because we don't know right. Therefore, we can't think right. And faith is a derivative of our thoughts. As a person thinketh within their heart, so they are. So then I say, well, what is the problem? Lord, why don't you heal everybody? Again, I say he can't no more than he can save everybody. He can save everybody as to the power to save them, as to the ability to save them, as to making a way for their salvation. He can save everybody. But he can't save everybody to this extent that everybody is a sovereignty and they have to make their own choice. And this is what it is all about. Even in the garden, when God created man and woman, to make them a sovereignty, he had to have Lucifer. If he had not had Lucifer, he could not have made them a sovereignty. They would have been a robot. They'd have never been like God. They'd have never been with freedom of choice, freedom of conversation, freedom of desire. They'd have never been what you are today. But having Lucifer, bringing him into existence so that they could look at him and be enticed by him and understand the vain janglings of his desire, and that is to the desire of the natural side of life, to give a pro and a con, to subject them to vanity. The Bible said the creature was subjected to vanity by God, not by himself or his own desire, but it was God that did that in hope. And the subjecting to vanity don't mean that God took me, as one would say, and subject his little one to be bitten by a snake. But rather, he subjected us to this extent that he put before us good and evil. And he made us subject to the evil as well as the good if we decide to choose the evil. So subjected to means we're in a position, we can choose what we want to. We're subject to go one way or another. And this way, it made us a sovereignty. It gave God the great satisfaction of having made something in his own likeness to where it could be exactly like him, could be part of his family, could communicate with it, it could talk back to him, it could reason with him like Moses did when he said, Lord, don't slay these people. The people in Egypt will say that you just led your people out here to kill them. And it's the days of Abraham when Abraham reasoned with God and said, oh God, you're going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not like you, God, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. See, come and let us reason together. This was the whole plan of God, to have himself a family. So then that's why we're in the precarious situation we are today. And I remind you one more time, because God did that, and even though it was man that sinned against God, death came by man because he told them not to partake of the tree. He warned them. He said, you'll die. But they did it anyway, so they let death in. Now, and God taking this on himself, to come into the world in the sinful image, pay the price, die for us, take the very blood out of his veins in our behalf, so that he could deliver us from the wrath of destruction that would come from him against the evil image, and offset the whole thing so you wouldn't have to pay it if you just believe in what he did. And he did this for you because he had subjected you to vanity. But folks, he delivered you that one time. He won't do that anymore. He did that because he accepted the blame, because he created you and you fell into that of your own sovereignty. But he still come and died for you and suffered for you. Such agony has never been known to mankind. But now this time, it's not the flesh. He killed all the flesh. He took that out of the way. He doesn't charge anything against you according to those things of the flesh. He doesn't even require anything of you to be saved as to the flesh, of putting away the filth of the flesh, because you're subject to the vanity of the things of the world. See, he took all that away, and he's giving you the second chance. And the second chance is a spiritual thing, that if you will come to God willingly of your own sovereignty, this second time, he won't charge any of that against you. He brings you salvation, and he loves you, and he's freed you from it. If you, the second time, will make the right choice, you can still have the benefits that Adam had before the fall. If you deny the second time, he will not accept the blame, because now you have your own choice, and you can do it on your own. So then, God has made a way. Let's get on then with the thought here right quick. And clarify what we're trying to say so we can understand God. So we know then that it is God's will to heal everybody. It is God's will to save everybody. It is God's will for you to never have sorrow, never have heartaches. It is God's will for you to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. It is God's will for you to never lose one of your children. See, all of these things we need to know, because in our mind, when our little one gets sick, the devil starts hammering on us. Well, I guess it just ain't God's will for him to live. Or you've been such a mean, contrary person, now he's got to die. And Satan starts hammering away, and fear and frustration comes. We get us a little home, we get us a little car, and then we get behind with it, we lose the job. And he said, well, it just ain't God's will for you to have it and prosper. You know, you're just one of those jinxes. And you're just a person that you've just been so bad. See, and all this just harassing our mind, terrorizing, tearing us to pieces all the time. And we're just like troubled water. We can't have any rest day or night. But all of that's lies. All of that's deception. All of that is wrong. That's not God. That's not God's will. This is God's will right here. See, this is God's will. What God's will is this. I quote it so many times, or refer back to it, where it says, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. Thy will. I come to do thy will, O God. That's why I come into the world. To do thy will. This is what the great eternal Father wanted. The great Spirit wanted. He wanted his will done on earth as he has it done in heaven. On earth, it's not being done because of iniquity and because of Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world. And he wants it done. So he come. He paid the price so it could be done. He took iniquity out of the way so that it could be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in doing this, he said, I want my will done. And when Jesus came, he went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He said, I am manifested to destroy the works of the devil, sickness and sorrow and heartaches. I've come that you might have life and to have it more abundant, filled up and overflowing. See, and I am here to take away all of your sorrow, all of your diseases. For the Bible said he was wounded for our transgression, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we are healed. We all had gone astray like sheep, but God, laying upon him the affliction and the iniquity of us all, bruised him and nailed him to Calvary to take our wrongs. And he was delivered for our offenses, to be raised again for our justification, that now the abundance of life can be here to us, and the abundance of health, and the abundance of prosperity. And I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. So then we see God's will. This is God's will. Why do we listen to another thought? See, why do we testify anything else? The Bible said you're taken with the snare of your lips. And Jesus is the high priest of our confession. If I confess weakness, then am I weak. If I confess sickness, then am I sick. If I confess prosperity and blessing, then do I prosper. And this is what God wants us to do. Now, I can't just go around saying that, but the Bible said, what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. And I know he can speak and say, I'm healed, and not believe that in his heart and be lying. But he can confess it and believe that in his heart because the Bible says so. Someone said, well, what is faith, Brother Pike? I don't understand faith. Faith is believing what God said. Faith comes by hearing the word. The word said it, you believe it. If I said something, you would believe it. I asked the question here preaching one night, what causes the difference? If Brother Taylor told me something, I have enough confidence in him and his integrity, I would believe it. I wouldn't have to struggle and wrestle with it. Why then do I have to struggle and wrestle with something when God tells me? Why do I have such a problem with it? It is because when Brother Taylor tells me something, there's nothing within me that struggles against that. That's on a human level. But when God tells me something, there is a satanic thing of no good thing within the flesh that wars through my five senses as the God of this world, projecting that into my body and my brain to war against that into Christ inside of my heart, because Satan knows that'll injure his kingdom. That'll cast him out. That'll put him out of my life. And so there's something that struggles against that, a continual warfare. And thoughts from the heart, and God is coming to me of good thoughts and deliverance. Thoughts from outside through my human senses is warring against that to keep me in bondage. Because if Satan goes out, he goes into the dry places, the tormenting places. Or if I rise up as a deliverer, then I am an injurious thing to his kingdom. And so he's trying to confiscate and take care of that which is his. So there's a continual warfare. And he does that because he wants to break my thoughts. My chain of thoughts should be, sure, God said it. I believe it. That's the way it is. No doubt. But see, he won't allow that. Like Peter walking on the water, when the word standing on the water beckoned and said, come to me. And he started toward Christ. He just kept his mind on the word as the word stood there on the water in a personification. And the word said, come to me, Peter. And he just looked at the word. He believed the word. He started toward the word. And everything was fine. And from the minute he believed, God prepared a platform for him. And the impossible was happening. The miraculous was taking place right there before Peter's very eyes. But the very second that Peter got his eyes off of the word, looked at the boisterous waves that struck his mind, and his thoughts went raging sea. And they say that the Sea of Galilee is one of the most terrible there is in the world. Within a few seconds, they say it can rage just like that. And the very thoughts of that sea, Peter's faith as to the chain of thoughts and believing was broken. Down he went. And the very minute that he looked up at the word again and said, Lord, help me, that quick, his thoughts was right. It was faith, and the hand went out, and Peter was on top of the water. See, that's just how quick faith works. It works so quick, instantaneously, here, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. Why is that? See, it's because that faith sanctifies. And when God looks on me and God deals with me, it's because I am sanctified. If I am not sanctified, he can't look on me. He can't get near me. It doesn't matter who I am or what I think I am or how religious I am or what I've done ritualistically. That has nothing to do with it. God doesn't even judge like he doesn't even consider that. See, all he considers is one thing, is this is my creation. I want to get to it. Just like a mother would consider her little baby and consider this is my baby. I want to get to it. I don't care if it's muddy on the face. I don't care if it's dirty. The dirty diaper, whatever, my little baby's in peril. I want to get to my baby. And that's the way God looks at it. See, he wants to get to you. He came to Calvary, took the blood out of his hands just to get to you, because you mean everything to him. See, but the thing is, he can't get to you if you're not sanctified, because God can't look at you. He can't get to you. He can't have nothing to do with you. Now listen just for a few minutes. It won't hold you long. So then, why doesn't God heal everybody? Because he can't. Why can't he? Because they're not sanctified. He can't. There is no possible way to do it. It is utterly impossible for him to do it. He can't do it. Just like the Bible said, it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to do this. He cannot do it. Just like when he was healing over there, the Bible said many mighty works he could not do because of their unbelief. Somebody said one time, said he would not do. It didn't say he would not do it. It said he could not do it. See, there's a world of difference between saying he would not do it and could not do it. So then saying he could not do it, that's the way it was. If he could have done it, he would have done it. So he could not do it because of their unbelief. And the reason for that is because without faith, it's impossible to please God, because it takes faith to sanctify. It takes faith to sanctify. God has given his son Jesus to take away the sins of all the world, not only of your sins, but my sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of every sinner, every drunkard, every fornicator, every murderer, every liar, every thief, every cheat, to take away the sins of the world. And when Paul spoke of some of the people that had come to God, he said concerning these people, he said, you don't fellowship fornicators. You don't have fellowship with these evil ones of the world. He said, but such was some of you before you came to God, but God cleansed you. Now, see, so we know the reason God doesn't heal them is because he can't heal them. Though he give his own blood and suffered in a human form to be able to heal them and to sanctify them. And we know that by faith in Christ Jesus, we are sanctified. And when I believe in the finished works of Jesus Christ, then the faith of Christ Jesus comes in and sanctifies my heart. And when my heart is sanctified, the great eternal Spirit, even God himself, that quick comes into my heart and I have salvation and I'm born again. But if I don't believe in it, it doesn't matter what I do. It's no good. Look at what the Jews do. The Jews does every kind of thing they know, sacrifice animals, they pray, they study for days and days at the time. God doesn't even notice them. They can't get to him. It's impossible for him to do anything for them other than through the blood, in that the rain is on the just and unjust. They can't get anything at all as to a direct connection to God and God to do something for them. He can't do nothing for them. Why? Because they're not sanctified in his sight. It's not possible for him to do it. It's an individual affair. They must believe from their heart. And when they believe from their heart, God is a spirit. He makes contact with their spirit through faith of Jesus Christ by his finished works. And then they are clean. I take the shield of faith. And the shield of faith quenches all the fire darts of the wicked. Why? Because unclean spirits can't get to me through faith. Because faith is a power of sanctification. And they can't pass through that sanctification. And the Bible said, cast not away your faith, which hath great recompense and reward. So then we know then the problem is that he cannot heal them because he can't get to them. Would he let the Jews go through what they're going through if he could get to them? He can't get to them. So then that means that the only way he can get to you and I is through an individual thing. Though he's took away the sins of the world, though he's placed there at Calvary, that atonement to where you can be sanctified, and you got to look to it to be able to get it. You got to look to it to be able to get it. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, then why is it that the rain is on the tear? It is because the church is in the world and the church is sanctified. And because the church is in the world and sanctified, God sends down the rain for the church. And then when it comes down upon the church, then the tare gets it. Because the tare is among the wheat and among the corn. See, and it's all mixed up out there. They're all growing together out there. Someone would say, well, I don't believe that. Well, then what does the Bible say the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came? Why didn't the fire and brimstone hold off? It had held off the whole time that Lot was down there. And when the writer in the New Testament refers back to it, he's speaking of the church going out, that Lot was typical of the church. And isn't it a true fact that the very change of the church, You can follow it through as to the resurrection of the dead and the very change of the church. And you look into the heavens, and when you look into the heavens, all of a sudden the heavens roll back like a scroll, and the stars fall from heaven, and the judgments of God come, and they run for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, saying, the great day of his judgment is come. Who shall be able to abide? Why? It didn't come before the saints went out. So it's very obvious as to what we're saying. Now let's narrow it down just a little bit more and we'll close. So then, when it comes to the little children, see, look at the woman. Jesus full of virtue, people touching him everywhere. All of a sudden he says, who touched me? Peter saying, well, Lord, many people are touching you. But this was different, Jesus said. Who touched me? Virtue went out of my body. And then all of a sudden, looking around, this little woman came fearing and trembling and fell down at his feet and said, I did. And she was scared. He said, be of good faith, daughter. Thy faith has healed thee, made thee whole. See, in her heart, she purposed within her heart, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. Now, what was that? That was faith. And the minute that she touched that garment, her soul, as we would say, just screamed out, it happened. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm touched. See, that's faith. That's faith. I'm touched. So her expectation brought the Spirit of God out of the body of Jesus, whereas Jesus had used the term, as a man, I'm not doing the works. It's my Father within me. It's the virtue. It's not by power or might. It's by that virtue. It's by faith that this healing came. That's why the Bible tells us to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the virtue. And, of course, a lot of this is lacking in the church today because of lack of virtue of our life, of staying out of the world, and dedication to God. We don't get the benefits of it. Neither do we dispense the benefits to the other people like it should be. And see, this little woman had to have faith. She had to have something that God could connect with. Though Christ was sanctified, and Christ was like a great dynamo. He was like a great transformer. And he was there giving off that power. But there had to be something that would connect with it. Like the little light, the filament had to be alive to get the light. See, though the power is coming, if the filament's dead, then it won't come. And there had to be a connection between that and that great transformer, which is the switch, because that switch has to be thrown, that these two things can make contact. And then makes contact, then comes the power. And that's where faith comes in, is to throwing the switch. So then we understand that in this, the woman believed and she was healed. Now, when we speak of this, I say little children. Why then doesn't the little children get healed? If this is the case with a person that God cannot heal them lest they believe because of the lack of sanctification, then what about the little children? It's like Jesus said when the little boy was brought, he was brought to be healed. And when he was brought to be healed, the disciples tried to heal him. And they couldn't heal him. And when they couldn't heal him, then Jesus came and said, bring the child to me. When the child came to Jesus, the spirit that had the boy was throwing him down. And it would throw him in the fire, throw him in the water, try to destroy him. And the man, he cried and said, Lord, help my son. The spirit oft tries to destroy him. And he said, if thou canst believe, if you can believe. Now see, we see here that this person has got to believe for that child. If thou canst believe, then all things are possible to them that believe. Now, the disciples did not do that. They did not understand that. They didn't even know that. They didn't know that. But Jesus immediately said, do you believe? If you believe, and the man cried and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And immediately the child was healed. Now, see, I said that to say this. The little child, why is the little child unclean in the sight of God? We all unclean. All have corrupted its way before God. All flesh. See, all unclean through the fall of Adam. And it is in the image of iniquity. And the Bible said that God would send Jesus, the prophecy of Daniel, and he'd do away with iniquity. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. This is a bastard child image. As to first birth, death, the sentence of death in the body. So then when it comes to this particular thing, Jesus came, became a human body, done away with it because sin by one man, righteousness by one man, just one man that took it all away because one man brought it. And the image was forever gone. Now righteousness upon all, even as sin was upon all. So then we know all is clear as to getting to God. So then all are unclean unless it's an individual concern to take the benefits of what God put at Calvary. The little child, now think real close, the little child, the little two-year-old child that's blind, the little baby that's deaf, why doesn't God heal it? He can't. He wants to, but he can't. Except there is faith somewhere to bring a sanctification to where he can get in. And the faith has to be without wavering. Wavering. Like Peter, here's faith, sanctification, and the connection is made from the word. He's walking on the water and everything is just fine. One doubt, iniquity, God has to turn away and down Peter goes. There has to be a transformating of mind to the extent that it's there without doubt, and then it's just like a direct current. Not an alternating, but a direct current. See, and it's right to its target, and it's right to its mark, and that's what God's doing to you right now to transform it. This mind, he is developing it, that your body being the target of that that's on the inside of you, emanating from your spirit, through the transformation of your mind, making the body the target, it's going directly to it to change it and make it an eternal body. So then we look and we see the little child. And there he is. God wants to get to him, but he can't get to him. He wants to help him, but he can't. Like water behind a dam, one crack in it, he just flood the area with the mercy and glory of God. See, and there it is. Iniquity in the world. Satan's the god of this world. He's got control. The very days are evil. So then when you as lights within the midst of this darkness is there to shine, then people see that light. They turn to you. Like I said to someone, I said, the days of Solomon, and I am going to close here right away, but said like the temple of Solomon, I said, the Bible said when the glory of God filled it, whoever looked toward it was healed if they called on the name of the Lord. I said, doesn't the Bible also say that I will return in the last day, saith God? I'll build up the fallen down house of David, which is the temple of Solomon. I said, aren't we the lively stones upon the foundations of the apostolic leaders? I said, didn't Paul say, I'm the wise master builder and you're God's building? I said, aren't we that temple? Of course we are. See, and this is the building he's building up. I said, now, isn't the glory of God on the inside of us? Doesn't the Bible say that from glory to glory we change on the inside? And this heavenly glory is to be made manifest in our mortal genes? I said, wasn't Jesus the temple of God? Wasn't he full of the glory of God? Didn't he go about healing all, doing good? I said, didn't this dispense from him? I said, aren't we the same Jesus, bodies, the members in particular, bone and flesh, and we're his temple and the glory of God within us? If people look toward this temple believing, won't they be healed? See, it's because we don't understand that they don't get the benefits they want. All right, so then let's look at the little child here. Why doesn't the little child get healed? Because he's not sanctified. Somebody says, now you give me some Bible, Brother Pike. Prove to me what you're saying by a little child. Okay, the little child. The Bible says, and I brought this out before, maybe you've never put it together, but the Bible says that if a believer is married to an unbeliever, that it is necessary for God to sanctify the unbeliever by the faith of the believer, else they can't live together. Because God cannot join darkness to light, nor the temples of God to the temples of Belial. So it is necessary that if the woman be a believer, the husband has to be sanctified by the woman, or vice versa. So, when the person is sanctified, this takes care of the situation. Why is that? Because the Bible says, else your children be unclean. How can children be unclean? If you have an unbelieving companion, and if there's no sanctification, children are unclean. He said, else your children be unclean. And this answers the questions. A lot of times people ask me the question about such things as this. See, this answers the question of why that I say that all the little children will not be taken up in the rapture. Somebody says, Brother Pike, when the translation comes and the rapture comes, won't all the children go with God? Won't they be taken up? They're innocent. And will he make them go through the tribulation period? Will they be here in the time of the mark of the beast? They certainly will go through the tribulation period. They certainly will be here in the time of the mark of the beast. Somebody said, oh no, God wouldn't do that. He's left them here in the time of 6,000 years of epidemics and sicknesses and wars, turbulence and tornadoes and SARS and whatever. And when great bombings go into foreign countries and they drop bombs and he knows it's going to drop on those children's head, does he rapture the children out? No, they stay right there. See, somebody said, well, you mean to tell me that God would be so cruel he would leave them there? There's nothing he can do about it. He can't do anything about it. God's not a thief. He's not a robber. He doesn't steal the little child. The devil steals the little child. So then that means that when we leave from here as children of God, will our little children stay here? No. Our little children will go with us because we're sanctified and the little children are sanctified. And all of them will go with us, even the little baby in the arms. See, it will go with us. Somebody say, but Brother Pike, that little baby don't have the Spirit of God. That little baby's spirit has never come out of the presence of God. He said, and the little children, their angel, their spirit, doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. It's never come to the age of accountability, and where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed. Therefore, it's not required of that little one. If that little angel departs from that body, that little angel is not unclean. That little spirit is not unclean, whether the baby's sanctified or whether it ain't sanctified. But the body is unclean, and the body does have to be sanctified, because that body is the body from the fallen one, Adam. And as long as it's in this world, it has to be sanctified. And if there is any salvation as to that body has to go by the way of Calvary. Unless that little angel departs from that body and that body goes to the grave and then God picks it up on the rebound, because where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed as to the resurrection. So then God can't get to the little baby. Your baby would be unclean. What does he mean the children would be unclean? He means that God cannot give his angels charge concerning them to watch over them and take care of those little children. He can't do it because they're unclean. He can't watch over them and get to them and take care of them because they're unclean in his sight. There's no way. He can't look on iniquity. But if they're sanctified, he watches them. See, and this is the answer of why that a little child will get killed out here when another little child will live. And maybe the other little child is more rowdy than the child that got killed. But because the child did not have any sanctification as to the angels watching over it or God getting to it, then the little child got killed. Somebody said, but that's horrible. No, it's not as horrible as you think. The little angel is free. It goes right back to God. It's better off if it grows up into that body, becomes to the age of accountability. Then it'll have to give an account to God, whether it's in the tribulation or whatever. It'll have to give an account to God then as to whether it does good or bad. Someone would say, well, now it should live, Brother Pike, to have a chance to do good or bad. It should live, but if it's in the time of the tribulation and there's no time left for that, it's much better off if it don't live to come to the age of accountability. So then God saves it. He spares it when the little angel goes back to God. All right, so then we see these things. We understand then that there's no way that God can do anything about it unless it's sanctified. This is again why that you and I need to sanctify ourselves daily and need to have faith in God that when we pray for somebody, that we ourselves can stand in the gap, like standing proxies, we say, stand in the gap and ask God to do something for them in the behalf of our believing. But we still got to have a contact with them to be able to do that, unless it is a little baby. And it makes it a lot better to pray for the little baby. But if somebody just comes up here and says, here, Brother Pike, this is my little baby. I want you to do such and such. And I have them to do this all the time. It is very difficult to be able to make the contact that I want to make. Sometimes parents come with a little baby that's very religious and I can't do much for it because that's all. They're very religious and they're in hypocrisy. Some come and they're not too religious, but they're sincere and doing the very best that they can. And I can pray for the little baby, and that quick I can make connection with God. See, and the Lord wants to do something for the baby right on the spot. Some individual comes up here and they've been serving God 10 years, they say. They come to church regular. I'm a Bethlehemite. I lay hands on them. I can't get no connection whatsoever. Somebody else comes up. It may be a total stranger. And they come up and they're very sincere. And they just give their heart to God. Just coming up just by the move of the Spirit. And that quick, a connection will come. And you'll make contact with their spirit. See, the Lord doing these things, always working with us. In the last little bit, we got a couple of reports on some people. And one of them, they said that was in terrible pain. The medicine not doing them any good. And they was making their funeral arrangements for the following week. And then they couldn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, we prayed for them. And all of a sudden, they said it was astounding. The woman was, I believe she said, was setting up and making jokes with them. You know, going on as to her little family. And then the other, as to calling, when they called, we prayed for them. And I felt the power of God. I could tell the woman was a believer. And I felt the power of God. And I said, if you'll receive that, I said, God healed you right there. I said, I felt him heal you. She said, I felt it way over here in this other state. And she accepted it. And then we got word in the last few days, said that she went back to the doctor. Supposed to die immediately. Went back to the doctor, and they said that this cancer is withering up. This is withering up. And she was really rejoicing. As a matter of fact, she wants to come to Bethlehem to be over here with us. Now, see, I said all these things to make a point. If there is sickness, call together the elders. Anoint them with oil, as James said. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, he'll forgive them. See, but remember, this is the answer. Why doesn't God heal everybody? He can't. But where there's sanctification, he can. If he could, what he would do would be heal everybody overnight. Everybody overnight. There wouldn't be one. There's not a living human being in the world today. But what if God could heal them? He'd heal them that quick. That quick. You wouldn't have to travail. I wouldn't have to travail. All of our travailing and fasting and praying is trying to get in shape, to be a channel, to have faith, to where God can have a sanctified area to come into. I told you that when he came into this world, all he could find was the virgin, a place in Mary's womb, and that's all he could find in the world. And because it was a prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, this woman believed so much in that until she became the subject. And there in that place, he created a blood cell. And from that, he got into that blood cell as God, the Spirit, in a minute way. And cell upon cell till he built a human body, a place of sanctification to where he could dwell in it. While he was here in this world and administrate the gospel to you and I through that body, has healing all in that day, and then took that body to Calvary, gave that body as the spotless lamb to do away with sin, that when sin was eradicated, he could come into our heart as the Spirit from within and work from within our heart into these bodies and eradicate this darkness and evil of all this world. Of all the problems, and it's got Satan confounded. He still can't figure out how God got past him as iniquity to be able to get to his creature. And he worked this great mighty thing, and he's looking to you and I to preach this gospel to where we can get the attention to God, to where he can come into their heart through the sanctification of their faith. Gradually increase the candle powers and eradicate the darkness from this world. All right, let's stand together. Just always remember this. When somebody asks you, why don't God do this? If God is so good, you can believe this. And if you understand this and believe this, when you ask God for your healing, you won't have any problem. The power will come from God. You won't have any problem. See, when you ask God for this, you won't have any problem because in your mind, you'll think, now, wait a minute. It's God's will for me to be healed right now, not day after tomorrow, right now. He's already healed me through Calvary. This is my benefit through Calvary. This is my will for my Heavenly Father at the death of that human body. And now all this belongs to me. And all I've got to do is just rejoice. The Bible said all these things come upon you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart. That is, you don't delight yourself in the Lord to say, well, hallelujah, I believe, glory to God, I'm healed, amen. That's the way it is. He said it, I believe it, that's the way it is. Calling those things that are not as though they are because they are in Christ Jesus. You are complete in Him, they are in Him. And all you've got to do is just call and be so as to believe it, and it will come to pass. Because He wrought it in Christ before the world ever was. Salvation the same way. Predestinated, elect, you claim it. Same way with your healing. Same way with your prosperity. Same way with your blessing. So then, children of God, that means that all you have to do is rejoice in the wonderful blessings of God. Believing, thanking God for it, rejoicing in it. Faith is not hard. It's very simple. It's just believing what He said. By His stripes, we're healed. So God would heal everybody. He wants everybody healed. And it's His will to heal you right now. It's His will to heal you. It's His will for you to be healthy right now. Not only to heal you, but to keep you healthy all the time. It's His will. See, and when you begin to think like that, you feel something on the main line, and you feel a connection. And you think, now, wait a minute, my God, there must be something to this. Because when I really sincerely think this way and believe this, I feel a quickening. I feel something happening to me. I feel the virtue. See, so this is what we should do. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. Just believe. Calus, don't break the connection. If you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Make it beneficial to your body. Let's sing these little choruses together for just a few minutes. You love the Lord? Always singing these little choruses, as always, the altars are open to give you a chance. Come to the altar, to encourage yourself, renew your faith, your vows in God, and ask God to fill you with His Spirit so that you can go out as a vessel and carry this water of life to the thirsty. You are a reservoir for God. Out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. And with joy, you will draw the waters out of the wells of salvation, which wells ye are. With joy, that all the world can get a drink. As David said, my cup runneth over. These wells are inexhaustible. And you got an everlasting supply. God wants you to have it. So as we sing together, the altars are open. The holy hill of heaven called me to mansions bright out across the sea, where loved ones wait and crowns are given, and the hills of home keep calling me. This house of clay is but a prison. These bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the house of clay is gonna burst wide open when the angels come to set me free. I see loved ones over yonder. Their tears are gone and hearts are free. And from the throne my Savior beckons, and the hills of home
keep calling me. This house of clay is but a prison, and bars of bone, they hold my soul. But the house of clay, skull bursts wide open when the angels come to take me home. I'll take my flight like the mighty eagle. Tonight the Lord is calling. And we're just about down at the crossing. Everyone is almost at the crossing. The church ages is coming to an end. We're set here for the perfecting of your faith. The saints of God are to be perfected by the ministry. And this wonderful faith comes by the hearing of the word. And when the word is expounded, then you understand, and then you think right, and then you believe right. And that's the perfecting of your faith, bringing it to a complete course in Christ Jesus. Let's sing this little chorus. I'm low in spirit. I cry, Lord, lift me up, for I want to grow higher in Thee. But the Lord knows I can't dwell on the mountain, so He picked out a valley for me. Sing that with me. For He leads me beside still waters. Somewhere in this valley below, He calls aside to be tested and tried. In the valley He restoreth my soul. It's dark as a dungeon and the sun seldom shines, and I whisper, Lord, how can it be? But He tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory and trials for me. So He leads me beside still waters. Somewhere in this valley below, He calls me aside to be tested and tried. And in the valley He restored my soul. While we've got our hands up and our eyes closed, I appreciate your time. I'm not going to hold you long. But let's just close our eyes and lift our hands up and worship the Lord. will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Run downhill in glory, all ye people, for His blood best washed the way every stain. Can you sing it with me? So I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb. Can you believe that God wants you healed? Do you believe that God wants you well and healthy? Do you believe that God wants you healed? Why wouldn't God want you healed? God's kingdom is not divided. He'th not made a strong, healthy boy and girl so that He can afflict them. He does not toy with us. He is good. There is none good but God. He wants you healed. He wants every one of you healed. Someone would say, Brother Pike, I don't believe I'm good enough. There has never lived a man that's been good enough. There is none good but God, Jesus said. If there's none good but God, how are you ever going to get good enough to be healed? You become a Christian and in God you're good. How do I become a Christian? By doing good. How can you do good when you're not good? Goodness has to come from them that are good. You become good by believing in His goodness. You become a Christian by believing in His works, His love. And faith works by love. Knowing He loved you, then you should believe. For if you believe in your mother and daddy's love, why would you not believe in God's love? And the more He loves you, the more you believe. For the more you believe that He loves you, the more you can believe that He will give you the good things of life. And the Bible said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give good things to them that love Him? You say, well, Brother Pike, I know that I've betrayed the Lord. I know I've done Him wrong. That's true. All of us are guilty. Isn't that right? Father, forgive me. Take my sins away. For Father, I've wronged Thee, but oh, how I have paid. So then, you've paid, haven't you? You'll pay more. See, for the way of the transgressor is hard. But when you repent, He said, I'll take your sins away. I'll stop your heartaches. I'll stop your sorrows. Because it's not His will for you to have heartaches. It's not His will for you to have sorrow. It's not His will for you to be in poverty. It's not His will for the devil to take everything that you get. It's His will for you to prosper. It's not His will for you to prosper today and then to take it away from you tomorrow. It's His will for you to prosper throughout eternity. Get your thinking right. Get your thoughts right. Don't listen to your own self. Don't lean to your own reasoning. If you lean to your own reasoning, your own understanding, then you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in doubt. You're going to be in sorrow. Why? Because the devil is in that flesh, and he's there to discourage you. And all the thoughts you're going to think is of the devil. So don't listen to that. Take the word of God. The Bible says, I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The Bible said, I will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. The Bible says, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. And the Bible said, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. And the Bible said, my blessing will make rich and add no sorrow. The Bible said, it is God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. The Bible says, and ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water, to bring forth your fruit in your season, and your leaves would not wither. The Bible says, if your ways please God, how he maketh all thine enemies to be at peace with you. The Bible said, I will make your enemies come and kneel before you. They'll come out against you one way. I'll make them flee before you seven ways. And I'll make them kneel before you and know that I have loved you. The Bible said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Even in America, when they believe God, no weapon could prosper against them that was formed. And God says, all of these things are yours just for the believing. Just for the believing. All you got to do is just believe. And on, thousands of promises he promised you. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He'll direct your path. I'll make all your paths peace. And you'll be called a child of peace. And I will rebuke the devourer, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. I will give you life in abundance until your cup overflows. All of these things God has for you. All of these things God has given you. I will lay your foundation with fair colors. Hang the gates of your life out of pearl. All of these things God offers to you if you'll just believe what he says. Believe his word. Acquaint yourself with the word. Over and over these beautiful things. If you believe, then he said, according to your faith. According to your faith, I am to you whatever you believe me to be. 3 million people, I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest because of their unbelief. Therefore, if you fail to believe, then you'll fail to enter into his rest. So then, should we believe according to your faith? They said, Master, will you heal us? Jesus said, I will that you be healed. It's my will for you to be healed. Do you really believe it? Then why doesn't it happen? Why don't you believe it? Because you still can't get it in your mind that I will that you be healed. You can't get it in your mind with the argument of your mind. You can't get it in your mind that it just makes him happy for you to be healed. And is there any question as to whether he can do it or not? Is there anything too hard for God? Doesn't he do what he wants to when he gets ready? All he wants is just a channel of sanctification to where he can get to you. I will that you be healed. I will that you be healed. Are you sick? Then I will that you be healed. Someone said, well, if Jesus was here to tell me that as he was in that day, then I would accept it. Well, he's here. I will that you be healed. I will that you be healed. Now, will you be healed? I will that you be healed. So be healed. Enjoy this. Rejoice in it. Scream out in your soul as the little woman with all faith. Oh my God, it happened. It happened. See, that's believing. For I will that you be healed. We're going to sing this little chorus together. It's called Have Faith in God. Can you sing it with us? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for deliverance. Have faith. All right, let's sing it together and believe now. Believe when you pray. How, Lord, you said it, I believe it. Lord, you said it, I believe it. I've got faith. How, what is faith? In what I just said, the word speaks to you. Not the man speaking, but God speaking to you. How, faith in God. For salvation, have faith in. Sing it again now. All together now. Have
faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God for your healing. Have faith in God. Do you need healing now? Once again, I'm a child of God. I have faith in my Father. He healed me. Because if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will I, the Heavenly Father, give good things to them that ask of me? Have you asked of me? You have not because you ask not. Have you asked? If you believed, you would ask. If you would ask believing, then you would have. So have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. Ask what you will. I will do it. Say it. Don't doubt it. It will come to pass. Decree a thing in your heart. It will be the way that you decreed it. When you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and ye shall have it. And nothing shall be impossible unto you, because you believe that you are the child of God, and that because you are born again, you're His. Someone would say, when I get good enough, Brother Pike, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm a child of God. And when I get good enough, I know the Lord's going to notice me and give me something. All right? So then we look at it and we examine it. So you've got a little baby, and the little baby is 3 months old. Just as quick as it gets big enough to get good, you're going to take good care of it. You're going to love it. And when it gets older, the older it gets, the more you're going to love it. You know that don't make any sense. You cuddle that baby. You love that baby. You coo at that little baby. He's precious to you. He can't do nothing in return. But he's your little baby. See, and that's what makes the difference. He's your little son. It's your little daughter. You're not waiting for it to get a certain age, to do a certain thing, to be able to accomplish a certain purpose. You love it. You clothe it. You feed it. You do everything you can for it. You lay up for it. Why? It's your little baby. See, aren't you God's little babies? He said, feed my lambs. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. I give my angels charge concerning thee. They'll bear thee up in all of your ways, lest at any time you should dash your foot against a stone. They're there to watch over you. They're guardian angels. They love you. They're fighting off evil. And every time you can believe, they come to help you. They help you and save you from wrecks. They help you when you've got something that's your security and something comes to steal it away from you. When diseases come to get that which is yours as your little children, your body and your health, the angels are there to fight it off and inspire you like they did when they strengthened Jesus after his fasting in the wilderness when he fought with Lucifer. See, they're there. They're always with you. They are there to help you as a little child till you can get strong enough with the great, mighty Holy Spirit on the inside to where you don't need their help. You can tell the devil to go and he'll go. But you just rest in Christ believing. See, and sing it again now and let this soak down into your heart real good before we close tonight. One more time. Have faith in God. Let's have faith in God. Have faith in God for your healing. Have faith. One more time as we close, I'm going to ask Paul to come and dismiss us while we're singing. I want to have faith in my Savior. I want to have faith in God. Let's have faith in God for the victory. Have faith. Remember, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. It'll overcome the world and the devil. Have faith. Have you got the victory? If you've got the faith, you've got the victory. Everyone's a sovereignty. Thou canst believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to you. You can believe if you want to believe. Have you got faith in God? Don't limit God. Now don't limit God. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Don't limit Him. It don't matter how big, how great, what a miraculous thing it would be. Don't doubt. Just say He done it. He done it. He done it. God did it at Calvary. He did it. It's all finished. I'm complete in Him. Whatever you're lacking in your body, whatever you're lacking in your life to make you happy, to make you whole, whatever you're lacking in your financial world, it doesn't matter what it is. You just have faith in God, because it don't matter what it is. It's already supplied in Him. You're complete in Him. Just have faith in God. I'm going to sing one more time as Paul comes. Have faith in God.